We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Championing the core conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. This is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I fought the law and the law won. That's an appropriate song. You can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. Joining us now is former Deputy Assistant Attorney General John Yoo. He is one of America's best known conservative constitutional scholars. He is currently the Emanuel S. Heller Professor of Law at the University of California, Berkeley. Previously, he served as the Deputy Assistant U.S. Attorney General in the Office of Legal Counsel during the George W. Bush administration. He has written several books on American foreign policy and the power of the executive branch, and is a frequent guest on Fox News. He has a new book out that dispels many of the fears about President Trump and astutely shows that the Trump presidency might actually be one of the greatest ones to defend the Constitution. It's called Defender-in-Chief, Donald Trump's Battles for Presidential Power. General Yoo, thank you for joining us this evening.
Oh, it's great to be with you, John.
So, John, this is going to get old, this John thing, just so that you know. So, John, Donald Trump's critics claim that he ignores the Constitution, but you've done extensive research. You've found that the truth may, in fact, be quite the opposite. Trump may have actually turned out to be an unlikely constitutionalist, correct?
Yeah, in fact, I saw as a populist, he would start out like many populists do, wanting to get around or evade the limits on his power imposed by the Constitution. But when you look at what's happened these last 3 years as we approach the November elections, it's his critics that have been wanting to shred the Constitution in an effort to bring him down. It's his critics who want to, for example, get rid of the Electoral College, who want to pack the Supreme Court, who want to use independent councils to wage political warfare, who want to nationalize the economy in favor of a Green New Deal. And so when I looked at all of these events, these controversies over the last 3.5 years, I found myself seeing President Trump as an unlikely defender. He's a populist, but he's a populist who wants to conserve the constitutional traditions and institutions that we have, who wants to return us back to the Spartan, more limited government that the founders intended for us.
Well, you mentioned the founders, and I mean, I think we both would agree that the president can certainly be controversial, but his actions show that he's more in line with the thinking of the founding fathers in many ways, and in fact may be more of a true image of what the founders had intended than some of our previous presidents, correct?
Especially when you look at the way they treat this vast, gigantic bureaucracy that we have. That, if there's a blemish on the Constitution today compared to its original design, it is this fourth branch of government, which progressives have given enormous power to control our daily lives, given billions, now trillions of dollars for it to spend. and have tried to insulate from political control. And you can look at things like the fight over the Mueller investigation, like impeachment. Yes, that was Trump fighting for his political survival. But at the same time, the bigger picture was he was trying to reestablish control by the people through their election of a president over that vast government. And you could see these were all efforts by that bureaucracy to revolt against the president. They don't like the politicians telling them what to do, but our founders wanted it that way because they wanted the people to be in control of the government, not unelected, insulated bureaucrats.
You've been, you know, Deputy Assistant Attorney General. You've been part of that, the Justice Department. You've been part of the bureaucracy to an extent. Do you feel, you know, that a lot of critics right now who say that there should be a separation, a greater separation between the executive branch and the Justice Department, do you feel that the bar Justice Department has been doing its job, that they're cleaning up the Justice Department, or do you think that it's gotten out of control?
No, I think I'm a big fan of what Bill Barr has been doing. I think that he's also trying to help President Trump return to the original constitutional design. And these people who want to have independence in the agencies, they're actually trying to undermine what the Constitution does. The Constitution allows us to pick through the Electoral College a president. It is only the president who is given the duty and the power to take care that the laws are faithfully executed. That means the president is in charge of law enforcement. Not some FBI director like Jim Comey with a 10-year term, not some, like these proposals would make it, an independent attorney general. That is the last thing the founders wanted, because they knew that if you did something like that, that prosecutor, that attorney general would become uncontrollable. Look at what Jim Comey tried to do. He thought he knew better than the American people who was fit or not fit to be chief executive, to be president. He effectively tried to override the result of the 2016 election. That's the last thing the founders would have wanted. So I think Barr, although he's getting a lot of heat, you know, he's getting a lot of criticism, I think he's doing the right thing, which is to return law enforcement back to presidential control, and that so that we, the voters, can decide whether we approve of what our prosecutors are doing or not doing when we elect a president.
No, you're absolutely right. We're talking with Deputy Assistant Attorney General, former Deputy Assistant Attorney General, John Yoo. John, I know one of the things that I wanted to talk to you a little bit about is the new book that you've got coming out. It's called Defender in Chief, Donald Trump's Battles for Presidential Power. You talk a lot about different topics in the book and the way that the President Trump has been criticized in this, things like immigration, foreign policy. And yet you look at this from a different perspective. You compare it to whether or not his actions have been constitutional. And in almost every case, you find that there's a constitutional justification. There's a constitutional basis in the president's actions, right?
Oh, yes. In fact, I think a lot of his opponents use constitutional arguments against him when really what they have is just a political beef. They may not like his policies.
Right.
I think good examples like immigration, for example. Then immigration, I think Trump is on solid ground to say the United States is a nation state. It is sovereign over its borders. It controls who comes in and out of the country. You may disagree with how many people should come in and how we should pick them, but that's just a question for politics. It's his opponents who make, crazy arguments like borders are immoral or that it's illegal for the Border Patrol and ICE to do what Congress has authorized them to do and given them money to do. And it's illegal for the United States to decide who can join the country and who can't, just like every other nation state in the world does.
Right. Well, and you point to the same thing in foreign policy. You point out that his attitudes towards foreign policy, his attitudes with regards to avoiding unnecessary wars, these are all, again, areas where he has taken a constitutional perspective rather than some of his predecessors did.
I think it's the foreign policy chapter, I'm glad you mentioned, was, I think, the toughest chapter to write in a way, because it required me to take a step back and look at all the day-to-day controversies and events that have happened in this administration, try to figure out what was the bigger picture. And the bigger picture, it seemed to me, it has to do with sovereignty again, just like with immigration. The United States is a sovereign nation. It should have a strong economy, which allows it to have military and political influence, and it should pursue its national self-interest. And it should not be afraid that other countries are going to pursue their national interests too. And I think that means that we're not going to be the policeman for the rest of the world, but it also means, B, that we're going to also recognize threats posed to us by other nations and not expect the UN to save us, but directly challenge them, like, for example, the rise of China. I think that's going to be the biggest threat to our national security for the next 20, 30 years. And Trump, I think, is one of his achievements has been to completely reorient our policy towards China in just a short time in office.
You mentioned it earlier, and I know we've got to let you go here in a minute, but one of the things that I think has been a defining moment, obviously, of any president, but certainly this one, was the attempt to impeach. His defense of impeachment was constitutional. I mean, I think that whole process was an abuse of the Constitution. Clearly, they were out of bounds. I think Adam Schiff, that whole joke, the whole process seems to have been a stretch, to say the least. But you argue in the book that actually was the epitome of constitutional authority with the way the president fought back, correct?
Yeah, first, I think that the founders wanted impeachment to be used only for serious issues. That's why it says high crimes and misdemeanors,
right?
Not just crimes, not just misdemeanors. And then, I just think this Ukraine affair is just a minor thing compared to what the founders had in mind. They had things like treason in mind, like presidents who were trying to betray the country to the King of England in mind. And then the second thing is they also thought, yes, presidential abuses of power, presidential abuses of the office could occur, but they wanted their primary check to be elections. And so what they would have thought, I think, crazy would have been to have an impeachment that occurred in the last year of a presidential term. If President Trump did anything wrong, we don't like how he ran his office, well, we're going to all get to have our say in November. Why put the country through the ordeal of impeachment when the people themselves can make their judgment at the ballot box?
Right. Oh, exactly. General, thank you again for joining us this evening. Once again, the book is called Defender in Chief, Donald Trump's Battles for Presidential Power. It's available on Amazon. Thank you again for joining us, sir.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break, and then Carl Peterjohn from the Save Century 2 Coalition is going to give us an update about the city of Wichita's attempt to circumvent the democratic process. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.